Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
All right. Well, good morning. My name is Bobby, and I'm going to have the honor to preach the word this morning. My main point this morning is peace is here and near. Peace is here, and peace is near. And I got a few things. So number one, what is biblical peace? How is peace here? How is peace near? How do we receive this peace? And what does this mean for you? That is where we're going to be going this morning. As you just found out, we're going to be reading from the book of Philippians. And it's always important when you are studying a section of text, when you're not working your way expositorily through that text, to go, what's the overall theme? Like, why, who's writing it, who is the author writing it to, and why are they writing it? So I just want to read this right out of the ESV Study Bible. It says this, the chief theme of Philippians is encouragement. Who needs some encouragement this morning? Yeah, I do. I'm going to be preaching this sermon to myself. Paul wants to encourage the Philippians to live out their lives as citizens of a heavenly colony. How cool is that? As evidenced by growing commitment to service to God and to one another. The way of life that Paul encourages was manifested uniquely in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not trying to boast. We're a pretty healthy church. I've discouraged this morning, just as a confession, as you heard in my confession earlier, and there's reasons for that, some tech things, some other things, but for the most part, I mean, we're discipling, we're seeing people, we're going to see a baptism soon, we're seeing people come to maturity in Christ, and we're seeing new people come, but we're not perfect. That's mostly because Rick is here. So you get for stealing out of my notes. But it's not just Rick. But all of us, including myself, bring a human sinful aspect to our gathering. Yet despite this, we love God and love each other pretty well. So in this Advent series, this is the season of the church known as Advent. Advent means coming. And so we look towards the coming of Christ that happened in the past in his birth and also thrusts us to the hope, peace, joy, and love that we have looking forward to his second coming. And it's called Here and Near. And like Paul, I want to encourage us to keep on keeping on. It goes on to say in the ESV Study Bible, he is above all concerned that the Philippians continue to make progress in their faith. Paul explains what spiritual progress will look like. Christian maturity does not come through special mystical insights only available to a few, but rather through the patient practice of familiar virtues of love and service to others. And so we pick up Paul's conversation as he explains what spiritual progress looks like in Philippians chapter 4, and we seek to answer our first question, what is biblical peace? What is biblical peace? Now, why do I say biblical peace? Why the distinction? Because not all peace is the same. And as we learned as we walk through the Gospel of John, that Jesus made that distinction. We see up on the screen, John 14:27. Jesus says this, and we saw this during the passing of the peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Now, biblical peace, and now he's making a distinction here. There's a certain type of peace that Jesus leaves with us, gives to us, that is distinct from other kinds. Instead of going through all the other kinds, I'm just going to focus on the true biblical peace that's brought up. Biblical peace is tied to the word shalom, which means all things as they ought to be. So it begs the question, when circumstances as they often are, not as they ought to be, how can we have peace? Because I think when we look at life, when I look at my life this morning, when I look back and reflect on my week, all things were not as they ought to be. Amen? Can you do the same? So then it begs the question, how then do we have peace? Because we have eyes to see that our God is in control. Amen? And he is good. Our God is in control and he is good. And guess what? If that wasn't enough good news, he is for us. He is for us. Therefore, we look beyond what is seemingly unfair and unfavorable situations and trust that God is working and that ultimately it is or it will be as it ought to be. Let me say that again, because I don't think y'all heard me. Did you guys hear me? Say it again. All right. The bottom line is that as Christians, we are blessed with the ability to be able to see, because this is not our home. Like in where we live right now, we're pilgrims passing through, and our home is heaven, and our mind is heaven bound. And so when someone cuts you off in traffic or you experience a real life tragedy, we are able to look beyond that and see that God is still working, that God is still good, that God is still in control. Does that make sense? And that is really good news. That is biblical peace. That is why it is a peace that surpasses, in our text this morning, all understanding. Like it doesn't make sense. Because worldly peace finds its peace in a slight shadow of all things as it ought to be. In other words, when all things feel good and right, you feel peace. When they don't feel good and right, you don't feel peace. But Jesus gives us this crazy cool foundation within the benefits and that the implications of the gospel is that we can have peace all the way through. What is biblical peace? Trusting God enough to sit down in one's heart. Trusting God enough to sit down in one's heart. That's one of the definitions when we talk about the idea of biblical peace is to sit down in one's heart. Now, just think about that. Just say that for a second. Because at the end of the day, our anxiousness, our worry, our concern, our stress, our anger, our frustration, our despair, all of it begins to center around this idea of the heart. I mean, when you talk to somebody that's filled with anxiousness, what happens to your heart? It starts to beat faster, right? No, just me. I know that when I talk to my daughter, who's a new mom, and I get her on the phone, she's got all the kids in the background, I can feel my heart going faster. Because she's just like, no offense if you're watching, I love you. And so, but like there's an anxiousness that can arise in the hearts. But peace, biblical peace, gives us the ability to just sit down in your heart. To just sit down. But that comes with trusting God enough, knowing that your peace is not based on your ultimate circumstances, but instead on something bigger and grander, which is the grace of God. Trusting God enough to sit down in one's heart. I read this in one commentary. It says, of these, the most placid lake hidden in the hills and reflecting the sunshine and shadows is a remarkable illustration. So the peace Christ leaves is power to hold the wildest fear in pause, to still the clamor of a hush or a cry. It is the coming of mercy to a sense of sin, of life to the fear of death. Trusting God enough to sit down in one's heart. So this begins to answer our second question, how is peace here? And what do I mean by that? Well, because of Advent, it's the season that holds a twofold celebration. As I said earlier, Christ has come and he is coming again. And so peace is here and now because Christ is here and he is with us. Isaiah 7:14, as we tie into the Christmas story. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we know, or if you don't know, Emmanuel means God with us. That Jesus himself, being God, is going to come and be with us. And so we look towards God being with us. And then we see in verse 9 of our text this morning, all the way down at the bottom, it says, and the peace of God will be, what's it say? Anyone? Who's got it? With you. And the peace of God will be with you. And so you currently have peace right now based on New Testament faith in Christ. It is yours. Jesus said it himself, my peace I give to you. And peace is here because Christ is here. How is peace here? Peace is here because Christ is here. I love the New Living Translation of Ephesians 3:17. It says this, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. See, God is with you. Therefore, we currently have the ability to have peace. And this taps into the idea of the gospel, that when Jesus Christ came, as we talked about in our men's breakfast and our women's Bible study that we kind of combined up yesterday, that there is an already. In other words, when Jesus came, he prayed and fulfilled the righteous requirement for humans to pray enough, kind of check the box, if you will, of the righteous requirement for a human to enter into heaven. He obeyed God's word and kept the law. He knew the Bible enough. He knew, was in community enough. He discipled enough. He evangelized enough. He did all these things and then goes, this record right here, this human record of righteousness, I'm going to just declare it over you. I'm going to cloak you with it. And so we're covered in this righteousness, which means that we're justified before a holy God. Like, this is important news. This is really important. Like, the idea of justification by faith will change your life. So don't check out if you're just like, yeah, yeah, I've heard that 100 times. You need to be reminded. Unless you're more mature than the Apostle Paul, anybody? No hands, not even one. So we need to be reminded of these things, reminded of the gospel. Even the Apostle Paul tells pastors, don't forget the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on. And why it's so important is because it's so easy for us to get into the rat race of trying to redeem ourselves, to try to, as I heard confessed earlier, put on our own righteousness, to somehow save ourselves, to somehow get ourselves in a spot to where we're living life by the balance, that we did some sin and therefore I gotta make up for it by all these works for God. And all of a sudden, the problem with living life by the scale is that you don't need Jesus for it. That's called sin. What I mean by that is that you just have your good works and your bad works. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, then it's all about who? You. You see, it's not what you do, it's what has been done by Jesus on the cross. That's why we use words like freedom and forgiveness. And our justification cleanses us from our sin, and then Jesus' righteousness comes in. This is already true, but yet we don't always live that way. And that's called the not yet of Scripture. That our minds are catching up to what our spirits have already experienced. And the fullness of this peace that I'm speaking of, even though we already have the peace of God, the fullness of this peace is not yet fully realized. So this is how peace is near. Look at verse 5 of our text. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. What's it say there? The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And peace is near because Christ is near. Look at this in Philippians 4. So it's the same text that I just read in the Message version. I love this. It says, help them see that the master is about to arrive. He could show up at any minute. Do you actually believe that? Like right now, Jesus could come. Just like, boom, sky cracks open, cataclysmic, earth-shaking craziness, and then all of a sudden horses start coming out of the sky. That's crazy. But that could happen. right now. But we get so caught up and we find ourselves like this. Jesus is coming, look busy. Jesus is coming, look busy. Well, obviously, that's a silliness, but there's still this idea that he could show up any minute. Do you know why? Because Christ is near. His coming is coming soon. And whether it be your death or the second coming of Christ, you are going to experience a fullness of peace that is not fully realized yet. This is good news, in case you didn't realize it. So, then that begs the question, how do we receive this peace? You see, peace is here and peace is near because Christ is here in our hearts and Christ is near his second coming. So then how do we receive this peace? Number one, believe. Number one, believe. It is so vital to believe and understand what we just talked about in the gospel. Because when we talk about our justification by faith, it says, for instance, in Galatians 5:1, that therefore we have peace with God. Based on what? Therefore we have been justified. That's what Galatians 5:1 talks about. That there is a sense of justification that happens to us, that we now have peace with God. And we not only need to believe that now or back then when we first got baptized, but also today, right now, in this moment, we need to believe that it already exists and that we have access to that tranquil lake, that there's not a ripple on it. It's perfectly reflecting trees in a sunlit background. That kind of peace exists for us. Do you believe? So number one, how do you receive this peace? You believe. Look what it says. It says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Notice there it says the command is let. We've talked about this before. The command is let. Go. You see how difficult that is? Because you need to actually believe it's true about you. And then what you do is you just let the peace of God come over you. And then it says to be thankful. To be thankful. Remember Paul's purpose for writing our text this morning, to encourage the Philippians to live out their lives as citizens to a heavenly colony. Now, this involves obedience. As we see as we saw in our last scripture, be thankful. Now, let's jump into our text. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. He says it two times. And what we see in this is that we see this kind of this understanding of scripture that we see promises and we see commands. Hey, John, if I could get the picture, I know I skipped ahead a little bit, the scripture of the Bible study that I did. So what you're going to see on the screen in just a second is this, is how this scripture breaks out into commands and into promises. Into commands and into promises. And what you're going to see, hopefully someday, is that in the middle of all of it, the promise of peace is there, but it's surrounded by commands. And that's the idea. So the first thing we see is rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And so that's our first command, to rejoice. But the cool thing is it's not a forcible rejoicing. It's reasonable. And it says in the Greek, pertaining to being gracious and forbearing. So I remember one time I was meeting with a pastor. I had just moved into town recently. It was early in the morning, and I still had not had my coffee. You guys see where I'm at right there? Everyone, kind of get that picture in your head. And this pastor comes up to me. There's the text. All right, so this is, just so you guys know, this is what I do every single time I preach a text. And you can see the breakdowns of God, general, keywords, command, truth, and sin. So those things are in there. But what I want you to take note of is the blue. Those are the imperatives. Those are the commands. And the orange is the promises. And so you see that they're dependent upon. Now, it's not, let's see, how do I say this? It's not that the peace that God has for you is dependent on your obedience. This is important. The peace that God has for you is more readily experienced when you live into who you're called to be. Did everybody catch that? Because that's vital. Because otherwise you're going to start living lives on the scales again. The peace is already there. One way to tune into the peace of God, like looking for a radio station. You guys remember those days? Because now we just push a button and it just goes to the next one. But like, there used to be a time where there was this thing called the dial. You guys remember this thing? And it would go, and you would try to tune into the station. Obedience tunes us into the peace of God. Does that make sense? And so what you see up here is you see these commands help live into what are the purpose or encourage us to live out their lives as citizens of the heavenly colony. Therefore, we live into. Now, the commands are this. Number one, the first one is rejoice. So one, believe, two, rejoice. Now, back to that story about that guy. So I'm sitting there. Remember me, no coffee? Everybody back with me? So I'm sitting there, and he comes up, and I kid you not, he just comes up like, hey, brother, like this far from my face. And I was just like, hey. And he's like, how you doing, man? It's so nice to meet you. And I just was like, whoa. Like, hey, man, can I become a Christian by drinking my coffee first? Like, hold on. See, it's not forcible. It's not a rejoicing that seems inauthentic. And the reason why I use that story is less than 30 minutes later, he's pouring his heart out. That whole rejoicing thing was a cover. And I could feel it. It was inauthentic. It was Christianese. It was like this, I got to put on my pastor's hat and my pastor facade, and, you know, meet another pastor and be all godly. Instead of just being real with my ninja skills, I got right around. I'm just kidding. But honestly, though, like, the rejoicing is authentic and not forced. It's instead anchored to the promises and sovereignty of God, therefore becoming real. That's our rejoicing. It's not painting on a Christian smile, but it is rejoicing outside of your circumstance. Rejoice. So number one, rejoice. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So believe, rejoice. Number 3, pray. Pray. Now, the idea of do not be anxious, the idea of anxiety is an overextension of worry or concern. It's not necessarily based on reality. That's where that you get the idea that it's like, because there's a natural concern. Like one of my kids runs out in the road, it's not sinful if I go, hey, like, you know, Silas, get back in, get in here. Like that's not a sin. But when I'm overly, like, worrying about this morning and our camera system and all some of the tech stuff that we had going on, and we have people not here, and I was really hoping they would be to hear this message. Like, there's just that kind of, like, oh, man, God, what are you doing? That is unfounded worry. Because I'm called to trust God. Because he's good and he's for us. And then you return to peace. It says in 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Man, because God cares. And I want to correct that, though, because I think there's a falsehood behind that. One of the Greek word studies, I did a Greek word study on the word anxious, and the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament says this: to cast one's care on God does not mean to think of him as the one who guarantees one's wishes. Let me read that again. Is that quote up there, John? To cast one's care on God does not mean to think of him as the one who guarantees wishes. See, because I think sometimes when we're just like, we cast our cares on God, we kind of put him in the spot of being like a cosmic bellboy. Like, we ring the bell. God, look, I casted my cares on you. Now take this situation away that's causing anxiety. But instead, it says this. To cast one's care on God does not mean to think of him as the one who guarantees one's wishes, but to see him in him the one who knows what we need better than we do ourselves. Man, that's good news. And that's where that trust comes in. Like, God, why is this happening to me right now? Why is it so hard for me to have peace in this moment? This circumstance is stripping everything. How could you, God, if you're good, why would you allow it? And God says, I know better than you. Trust me. I have good intention in mind. Trust me. Trust. So believe, rejoice, rejoice, and then pray. And we trust God enough to sit down in one's heart. And we replace anxiety with prayer, but not just any prayer. Look what it says, a prayer of thanksgiving. I was 2 weeks ago, I was on a prayer walk, which I often do, walk my dog and go on a prayer walk. And I found myself looking up, and it was a particularly clear night, and the moon wasn't out, so the stars were just beautiful. And I just immediately just thought of like Psalm 19, like the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. And so I just started praising God and gently, not like a rebuke, but a gentle, loving, slight rebuke. God says, hey, it's good to have you back. And I was like, ah, you're right, Lord. I haven't just randomly praised you. And man, it feels like it's been a week. And he's like, yeah. And I want to encourage you that when you do, you tap into who I created you to be. So what we have in this, what I had in this moment is, like, I started praising God, and he reminded me, this is how I was meant to live, to rejoice and to pray. And then you know what happened? Guess what happened? Any guesses? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding guarded my heart and my mind. Amazing. This is a promise when we live out these things. You see the commands in the scripture. They say, rejoice, believe, which we see in all of scripture. And then in our particular text, rejoice. Rejoice, let it be authentic, but rejoice. And then pray, not about anxious things, but we'll pray about those anxious things, but and replace that anxiousness with prayer and thanksgiving. And then the promises and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will come. The next point is think. Believe, rejoice, pray, and think. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I think oftentimes the Christian community rejects things like having a positive mental attitude because there is some dangers there and just kind of like projecting and like, but see, the thing is that we're able to do these things because we're rooted and founded in truth of the scripture and what God has said. And what a thing. My last point is this. So believe, rejoice, pray, think, and my last point is practice. Look at verse 9. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And then the promise and the God of peace will be with you. See, it's not that our obedience makes that true, but our realization of it, our obedience gives us a deeper realization of the truth that already exists. How cool would it be? Like, the next question is, what does this mean for you? Well, we believe. And how cool would it be that this week you just randomly break out into praise? Just start rejoicing. But that's going to take some practice. because we don't always see it. And so sometimes we need to pray to have eyes to see. So the next point, pray, right? The next point is we need to pray. And then, but then think. And what's so cool is these things, whatever. I love this. There's one of the key words in the text. It says it a bunch of times. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent. If there's anything worthy of praise, think about, meditate upon these things. It's going to take practice, y'all. It doesn't just come naturally. There's an intentionality to these things. To just stop and look around. Like when you find yourself in despair, here's a good practice for you. When you find yourself in despair, just go read through this list and go, is there anything around me or in my life that is any of these things? And as soon as you find one, praise God for it. And watch the experience of the peace of God come. Peace is here and peace is near because Christ is here and Christ is near. Therefore, believe, rejoice, pray, think, and practice. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.